D72 is the professional PC text multi-tool designed for automation in diagnostic, Windows repair, and malware removal. No other tool can help you automate more, relax more, and get paid with less effort than ever. Podnuts likes to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geeksters episode 128. This is a show where we talk about things geeky. If it has a computer at some point, we will talk about it. My name is Martin Abando. I'm one of the hosts. But before I introduce Tim and Mitch, I want to thank Repair Tech Solutions for the support of the Podnuts Network. They make a product called Tech Suite, the ultimate computer repair toolkit. Tech Suite, it downloads, installs, maintains, and automates over 300 commonly used repair utilities. You can even throw in some of your own. More information can be found at repairtechsolutions.com. So I want to thank them again for being a great sponsor of the Podnuts Network. If you go to the podnuts.com webpage, at the very top, they have a banner. You can just click it there as well. So I'm going to introduce my co-hosts. Mitch, how's it going?
Not too bad. I'm doing pretty good. I've been on this diet for 4 weeks today, 28 days, and like I said earlier, 23 pounds.
23 pounds. Awesome.
And only 54 more to go.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm in the process of losing my weight as well. At one point, I was down 100 pounds. It's before I was on Pod Nuts here. So I don't have any. You didn't see that. But you know what? You know, you go, well, 28 pounds doesn't seem like very a lot. Go next time you're in the store, go to the store and pick up 28 pounds worth of sugar, flour, whatever like that. You realize how much 28 pounds actually
weighs. I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm so much more agile with this, just losing the 20 pounds, 23 pounds. I mean, I've been cleaning up the garage and all this stuff, throwing all this stuff away. I couldn't have done it a month ago because I just couldn't bend over. And now I can tie my shoes again.
Awesome. Well, congratulations, Mitch. Keep going. I'll send you some hard drives. Oh, wait. Looks like you got some already there.
Oh, my gosh. That's another thing. That's what I've been cleaning up. I have 30 hard drives. And I don't mark them if they're good or bad when I get bad ones. So I've been going through them, testing them, and then, you know, formatting them. And most of them are bad, but I got a couple good ones.
Yeah.
I'm going to toss them.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, how's it going? Good, good. Yeah, what happened with that? Wait, you called somebody to come fix your computer? Did you get... I don't think you understand the concept of this podcast. I like you here. Well, preach it. Go.
I don't eat. No, I'm just cutting out all the junk food. I mean, the only thing I'll eat some pretzels here and there and some animal crackers because they don't have fat in it. And
they're vegetarian.
Or very little. But I'm eating like a lot of salads, chicken, fish. I had salmon twice this weekend, and I'm kind of hooked on that because it's been really good. And I mean, I know what to stay away from, but in the last 4 weeks, I haven't had pizza, ice cream, candy, so that will do it. I'm drinking water. That's the only thing I'm drinking is water. I'm not drinking soda, nothing else.
Yeah. Nice.
I've done it before. Last time I lost 50 pounds. I never keep it off. You know, I probably lost 30 plus pounds eight times in my life, but I never keep it off. But now, since I'm running out of time, I have to keep it off. Thank you.
I'll send you lettuce in the mail.
All right. Oh my.
It was very fun.
Hey, one question. Can I ask you to do something? Can you tap your mic for a second?
Who?
Tim.
So Tim's mic is not coming through on the Google Plus. You may have to, within Google, change it.
Yeah, because you don't sound like you're on your good mic.
You're probably recording through the mic, but through within Google, it's not coming through.
Yeah, look on top. Hover on top, and you'll see where to change the sprocket.
Not the sprocket.
And then click on it and see if you could see your default recording device. See if you have two different ones in there. Yep.
Oh, there you are. There you are.
Just make sure Audacity has the Samsung in there. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You sound smooth now.
Yeah. I knew something wasn't right. I guess you were going through your webcam, I guess. Doesn't what? You should be able to... I don't think you can switch on the floor. Do you... You want to start it again, Martin?
Well, we'll keep going, and if need be, I'll just pull the audio another way.
Okay. I don't think you can do it on a fly in Audacity while it's recording anything. I might be wrong there.
Okay. Okay. I wouldn't worry. Got it now? You got me.
Yep.
All right. So anyway,
I got you.
Yeah. We got some here. What happened was last week we had a typical lightning storm. It's not unusual for my power to go out here. You know, seconds, 10 seconds. Like a pretty usual occurrence. Happens all the time. So what happened this time around was that, of course, all my machines, I have them to stay off. I don't like them to automatically start back up because there's no reason for that. And when my power goes out, it tends to be like, you know, 20 minutes of a series of brownouts, flickers, blackouts. And so it doesn't need that. It's like, just stay off until I'm satisfied the power's going to stay on, and then I'll come back down, boot it up. Well, there were a number of hours in between that happening. So I come down and I go to boot it up, and I was like unusually early, and I come down, I'm all fired up, and I go to start my machine up, and I get the BIOS screen, and then I just get like that blinking, like that underscore character just blinking. I'm like,
oh yeah.
I said no. I'm like, no, not today. I'm like, early, not today. I'm early today. No. So I.
What sites have you been going to? No, never mind.
What sites have I been going to?
No, I was just kidding.
Well, I tell you, I've spent the last week going to computer repair sites trying to figure out, well, how do you do this stuff, because I have no idea. So anyway, what I did was, like, real quickly, I'm like, I'll try and diagnose this real quick. You get it fixed, I can get back in there. So I disconnected all the drives, and I'm like, oh, crap, I don't remember which one's the boot drive. So I just, like, plugged one in. I started it back up, and got the same thing. So I unplugged it and tried a different drive. And I should really preface this by saying this machine has just been cobbled together over a number of years. But it kind of served the purpose here. And so, you know, I just never had a reason to build one from the ground up. And so I'm pulling that one, and then I stick another one in there. Well, it actually booted off that drive, but it was XP. It was like some other just OS off some like old drive that I was just using for data. I was using for data. And so I'm like, crap, I didn't. So I shut it back down. And I mean, we went through this for a while, and I finally got to the very last drive, and I plug it in, and I get that blinking underscore. And I'm like, okay. So at this point, I feel like diagnosis time is over. And so what happened last week was I tried to throw together a machine very quickly, and that just, it just didn't pan out. So that's why everything was late last week. It's all my fault. Send me the hate mail. I apologize. So getting into the diagnosis, I'm like, okay, what am I going to do here? So I had the drive, and I thought, well, I'll pull it out and just see, I'll slave it to another machine, just see if I can see everything on it. And I didn't do that. I kind of got looking in there, and I had completely forgotten. Like I said, this machine had just been like cobbled together like over time, and wires upon wires upon wires upon wires. I think I even went into the BIOS just to look and see how everything was sorted out booting. What I discovered was that there was actually a second drive in there connected. Behind all those wires, it was an IDE drive. I had the ribbon cable. It was all folded up nice and tucked in there. So as I was peeling all the layers back, I actually found like the original machine, like an archaeologist. I found the original machine, you know, and it was all cabled real nicely. And I'm like, son of a gun. And so I pulled in the BIOS. It was set. It was actually seeing both drives, but it was only set to boot from the one. It wouldn't boot from the one, fail, and then go to the next. So I unplugged the SATA drive and I set it to boot from that ID drive, and it booted right up. I said, son of a gun. I said, here, that's what I get for just cobbling things together over the years. Well, what caused the problem in the first place was that I kind of got a tip off when I started up this morning, was that it was upset. The BIOS was upset about date and time. I said, oh, okay. And so what happened was that the machine sat, whatever the number of hours that was, 1, 2, 5, it sat there long enough that CMOS battery apparently was dead enough that it had lost the proper settings as far as probably boot devices, that sort of thing. And so when it started back up, it just kind of went with a default set, and it wouldn't boot. And so pretty much what I've spent today doing is just kind of doing what Mitch does. I was kind of digging through all my drives, finding one I could at least install the OS on until I could image it to a nice new drive.
And so I
you replaced that battery, right?
reinstall Windows and got everything up and running. Cutting it close, of course. And then, yes, I do have a CMOS battery to replace at some point. So anyway, that's what happened. So kind of an unusual thing, but I got stung. So
same thing happened to me a couple weeks ago where I was installing that Windows 8 machine. And I guess I must have got up and must have went on. You know, normally they would ask you what region you're in, and I never saw it. And Java wasn't working on some of these sites I was going to, even though everything was running all right. But that's what it was. The clock, I didn't realize the clock was off by like 3 hours.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You know, and time is kind of one of those things. Like, you know, you have a bad RAM chip, and your system will do everything from crazy things that you think, I didn't even know my system could do that. Time will do the same thing, but sometimes time does the same thing on a bigger scale, especially in a network. If your time is off in a network environment, man, things don't talk to, things don't connect. You think it's an IP issue, you think it's something else. Yeah, time's a tricky one, and it's one of those things that, you know, that you don't think about until almost the very end, because it doesn't happen very often.
Look at the freaking clock. Okay, I will.
Well, yeah, but yeah. So, remember, I had a story. It was a while ago. I had a client who, she was always 5 minutes late to a meeting because in a network, the domain controller was the clock was wrong on that. So it was causing all the computers' times to be wrong. Right, and so calendar would pop up late. So she was, yeah. Speaking of that one, oh, I don't know if you noticed, Mitch, this computer behind me, it's got the side off, but it's a different computer now. I've upgraded. I have a brand new Dell server sitting down here on the floor. That's kind of my to-do. That came in today. So it's a brand new Dell server to replace those old servers at that one client. So that's kind of that's on my to-do list, is to bring up a brand new server.
Is that like one of these Blade type ones?
No, it's a standalone box server. It's not that one. That's just a desktop. But it's a giant beefy one. I'm hoping it doesn't reboot or anything during the show, because it sounds like a jet airplane when it takes off, when it reboots.
And that's why I switched from a laptop, because that fan, you know, the fan will run on and off in there. And so, the i7 is a lot quieter.
So Tim, you did a fresh rebuild and you're set and good to go now, huh?
I don't know how you define fresh rebuild. It's basically, I just dug all the guts out of the machine, and same motherboard, which is fine, same power supply. I have nothing but just that one drive that I'm installing to. And like I said, I want to get a good install, image it.
Is that a dual core you're running, do you know, offhand? Or?
Yeah, it is.
See, dual core is really tough in here. If you're running, doing what we're doing with the Google Hangouts and trying to record Audacity, I know my dual core laptop, it couldn't do it.
So.
We should pass a hat around. Get Tim a new computer.
No. It's door, nothing like
door.
That.
Door.
You just don't know. It was so. But this is a fresh install with I actually had a copy of 7 Ultimate laying around with a good key that I never used, and so I installed that, and it's fantastic. There's no garbage to uninstall. Everything's nice and neat, and
But you are looking good. Your camera's looking good, and you're sounding good.
I make this camera look good.
Yeah, you do.
So anyway, I thanked the man and paid him like $50 or something. He balked, but I told him to get out. Very satisfied.
We are cool. Too.
He balked.
Bark, bark. Like, hey, I'm done with you now.
That's right. We're done now. You can go.
Hey, by the way, some of these drives in here, I think a couple of them are 6 gigabytes.
Nice.
That's how big they are.
Yeah, I worked on a client's machine this week, and he had a 40 as a primary. These are all IDE drives, so this is an older computer. I got it because it was running pop-ups and spyware, and it just was running terrible. I brought it home, and I tried to do it remotely, and what would happen is it just would pop up, it would hang, it would reboot. I tried to do it remotely and couldn't do it. Brought it home. Found out some of the stuff. It had a rootkit, like a deep, deep rootkit. And I hadn't seen a rootkit in a long time. I used TDSS or TD. Yeah.
Yeah.
TDSS killer from Kaspersky. That cleaned out the rootkit. But what happened was it started after I cleaned out the rootkit, I would reboot and it would pop up a box that would say some NT service had failed and it was going to reboot in 55 seconds. And it was just constantly in this reboot loop. So what you had to do was, it was old enough computer where it would reboot, that box would pop open, I'd have to quickly jump in the command line and then type shutdown space minus A, and that would kill the shutdown. But it was so old that sometimes other processes were running, and I should have run debug and killed those processes. Hindsight, should have killed debug, killed those processes, and then that way I would have been able to jump in there faster. Finally got it to do it, cleaned it all out. But he has a 40 gig and then a 6 gig, and the 6 gig has some errors on it. It's just a bad hard drive. The computer, I mean, these are all things that are secondary to the original problem. But I was listening, I had the side off because I was doing some stuff, and the fan, you could see the fan spin up and then spin down, and then spin up and then spin down on the CPU, like it would surge. So I turned off the computer and I went to go spin the fan, and it was like, the bearings on the fan were going bad. The hard drive was going bad. So when I handed it back to him, I said, this is what we could do to fix what you have. But really, you have a very old computer, and we probably should replace it. So I'm hoping he's going to buy a new computer, but we kind of band-aided the situation. But TDSS Killer by Kaspersky cleaned up the rootkit. And after that, it was, you know, JRT and ADW and, you know, the normal stuff we've talked about before. And it worked well, got them all cleaned up as much as could be.
Was it XP?
It was XP. So sounds like he's really concerned. He's trying to save some money by not buying a monitor. Well, no, you know, when you buy a computer, you know, most of the time it doesn't come with a monitor unless it's a sale, but he has an old CRT. So he's going to put a new system on an old CRT monitor. I think I've got a LCD, you know, I think I have the LCD in my closet. I may just say, here you go. Or I've got a school that's giving them away. I'll just go grab one from them. It's not going to be anything great. You're going to be, you know, but I'm going to get rid of his CRT.
What's wrong with people?
It's rough.
What's the motivation? Just doesn't want to spend the $100 or something for just a little screen?
He's trying to save $100. Okay. And so what he'd like to do is, if I can give him a computer that, you know, he just assumed it was all in one, a package suite, and it's not. So,
all right.
I gave him another price, and these are, I mean, what I gave him were two computers. They were both, one's an i3, one's an i5. I quoted him another price, and I said, you know, if you really, really want to, and you know, those prices were like $449, $499. They weren't crazy. I said, here's one for $369. It's a Pentium processor, but for the, you know, the difference is going to be huge in the long run, to just might as well stick with one of the i3, you know, at least go with the i3 rather than going back to a Pentium processor.
Agreed.
So, but that's, you know, it's his, you know, it's a monetary decision now by him, and we'll go from there. But I hadn't used the TDSS Killer in a long time. Stinking rootkits.
I use it from time to time. It's still great.
Yeah, I use it a lot. I don't think, I might have had a rootkit one time, but it was like this machine was so bad off anyway, so.
Well, I'm wondering if I should use it more, because it's one of those things where I'll use JRT and ADW all the time, Malwarebytes, but I never use TDSS Killer. And I wonder if I should start using it. What's the worst that can happen? It'll say nothing found and I move on. But
I think Malwarebytes should find rootkits too, I believe.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I did on his computer is he's running the free version of Avast, and by default Avast won't scan for rootkits on boot up. You can tell it to go in there, say do a custom scan, say scan for rootkits, and then it'll turn back on, and during the process of it booting up, Avast will scan for rootkits, and it found some nasties and just residual stuff as well. So, between a lot of programs, we got them all cleaned up.
Excellent.
But that was a Friday, Saturday, you know, project. So that was kind of my big one. There really wasn't, you know, oh, well, I went to a new server this week, kind of pulled the plug last Thursday on upgrading my hosting server for that. And, one of the things I did was I put out on Google+, and if you follow me on Google+, I'm at Mobando. I put out a note that just said, you know, really appreciating and liking Known Host, who I go through for my managed services. And I just said, hey, really liking them. If you're looking for a managed virtual server, go through them. And my server, what I did is I ended up upgrading from a virtual server to actually a dedicated physical box. It came with some other perks with it, but I have some projects on the horizon that I'm going to need a bigger, beefier server. And it was written back, there was a reply back in Google+ about, hey, I thought you were a DigitalOcean person like me. And we've talked about DigitalOcean a little bit, and I said I am, but I'm using them for my unmanaged servers. And so that made me thinking, well, what we probably should do is talk about, real quick, what's the difference in when you have a managed server versus an unmanaged server. And I have both, because they both do different things. So an unmanaged server is basically the data center. You order it like DigitalOcean. The cheapest one there is $5, 512 of RAM, 20 gig hard drive. They give you an IP address, a quick way to install the operating system. They may install it for you, they may not, and the control panel type stuff, and they give it, and it's up to you. You take it, you run with it. There's nothing that they do. I use DigitalOcean for my support tools, my remote support tools, and it's $5 a month. You get it, and they take, it's all you. DigitalOcean just hands it off, okay? Now, my managed servers, it's the same thing. They may give you a control panel, they may do that, but it also comes with monitoring, troubleshooting services, maybe some hardening services. So my hosting provider is a managed server, because if I get blacklisted, I can contact them and say, hey, I'm having issues. I mean, I was on the phone with them because I had a whole bunch of clients for some reason. So there were some configurations that didn't transfer correctly from the other server from the same company. So we had to go in there and they had to make some changes to my PHP and some SQL backend stuff and some of the config files of my firewall and stuff. I can open up a ticket with them and they just take care of that. They're my managed one. There's no ticketing system through DigitalOcean. I mean, they may have managed services, but I'm not using them for managed services.
I have a question. Now, these are actual physical servers.
Well, DigitalOcean is a virtual box. Okay.
Okay.
Because that's how you can get it. That's how they can partition it out so cheap. This, my new hosting server is, I went from a virtual box to an actual physical box.
At your house?
No.
Okay.
I went to my physical box is actually in Dallas.
Okay. All right.
That I'm hosting. So if you go to abandocomputing.com, that's going to reside on that physical box in Dallas.
Confusing me? You said something about a Dell server, so that's why.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I apologize. The Dell server that I was talking about earlier was a replacement domain controller for a client.
Okay.
I apologize for that.
That's all right, but I just thought it was you for the home, and so I was getting confused.
No, so that's the difference between a managed and an unmanaged server. So depending on what you want to do, that may be what makes a decision of who you go with. And I'm a big fan of known host for my managed and DigitalOcean for my unmanaged. That was one of my other big things.
Interesting.
And it's a big thing to move servers. Lately, it's been, in the long run, it's going to be better, but that means I have to go through all of my clients, change all their DNS. You know, we've had some email issues that have gone along with it. And I think I host like 52 websites. So yeah. That's 52 places I have to go. You know, maybe they're all in the same account sometimes, but they're not all of them. And man, it takes a bit of time.
I hear crickets.
Yeah.
Well, we have that one show on the Podnuts Network, The Nightwise, and there's a recent episode, fairly recent, and he talked about virtualization servers, mm-hmm. and how you can do everything on one computer and, run a server. And it was really interesting. And if, like me, I don't do it, but I am interested in it. And it was really, really, I got a lot out of it. But I just got to commit if I really want to do something like that, try to learn how to do the Active Directory thing and run a server, a home server, and all that.
Well, but running, I mean, the term server is pretty loose.
Yes.
You know, so in this instance, if you ever set up, if anybody there ever runs an operating system and then installs VirtualBox and then uses that VirtualBox to create another computer, right?
Right.
Essentially. Right. You are now running your host operating. Your host is a server. You're serving up data. You're doing something.
Right.
So, and that's really what a lot of other, things do. My computer that I'm on right here, I have a virtual box for a Windows 7. I'm doing some serving. You can take that to a bigger thing and actually run then a server operating system on a virtual box.
Like, I think the enterprise, they use Hypervisor, I believe.
Right. The backend chips, but it's, oh my goodness. It's VMware.
VMware is one of the big ones. Yes. That's what my son specializes in. That's one of his big things. And a lot of companies do this. They'll run these emulation OSs, and they save a lot of money doing it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. The last job that I worked at, we had just, a major server and then a big giant NAS. And then on the major server, we ran virtual machines and the data was on the NAS. And we had, you had all of these machines that were virtualized. And then what you can do with the VM software, that virtual machine software, is that when a host needs to do updates on a host, you can actually transfer the virtual machines from one physical computer to another physical computer on the fly without ever having to take any systems down. Yeah, on an enterprise level, but you're talking, thousands and thousands of dollars for these, just the application alone for the licensing to be able to do all that. And then you still have to have the licensing for the server and you still have to set everything up.
Right. But in VirtualBox, now I think I have it on my i5. I have like maybe four different OSs, and you can actually run that all at the same time. You can start each one of them up at this, have all running simultaneously.
Yeah. As long as you have as long as you have enough system resources.
Correct. Yeah. So I got 8 gigs of that machine. Maybe I can run a couple of them, start playing around or something with server.
Yeah. Well, and then, you can run them if you can run them and then set up a network between the two. And you may have to do some fanciness on the network interfaces, but then you can get them to talk to each other and transfer stuff. And yeah,
right. I'll do that now, but I'm not really on. I just did with the default stuff. What's that share folder or the when it's off of the C drive?
The public folders?
The public folder, because it just works right out of there without doing anything.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Anything, Tim? What else you got going on?
That's what I was sitting here trying to think. I ran across a few things that I wanted to bring, and I'm sitting here. I was sitting here trying to think what on earth it was. I'm sure I'll just have like some awesome stuff. I'll tell you what, maybe I'll tease it, but I was really confounded by one thing that I did do over the last week, was that I did a reinstall. I had an Acer laptop here, Windows 7, that came in backlight was failing on the screen. I'd been using the business. Customer didn't want to do anything with it. He said, just keep it. I said, all right. So it sat here for about 9 months. So I dug it out, hooked up to an external display. And I thought, I'm just going to do a clean install on here. So I burnt the disks, but then I ended up just reinstalling it from the recovery partition. And out of the box, as soon as I connected to the internet to start downloading, I always download some security software first and a couple things I kind of like to put in place first. And then I just start the Windows update, start the whole process. So this thing acted like it was infected, like just from the very beginning. And I'll tell you what it did. I never confirmed whether this was legit or not, but it looked really, really wrong. It started harassing me immediately for a Java update. And I think this was related to, I don't know if it was related, if it was just something that wasn't right, if it was something about the Acer software that was installed, or I kept getting pop-ups too, windows that would, not pop-ups so much, but I would have additional browser windows open that would start directing me to places that just didn't seem quite right.
That's why I hate those OEM discs. I mean, they're going to put their stuff on it, the ones that you get with the computer. Mm-hmm. I've done on some of mine, but I'd rather use a clean disk.
I agree. The thing is that these windows, it strike me as, it didn't feel like, the seat of my pants, just didn't feel like OEM software related kind of stuff. It really felt like malware redirects. And so anyway, I was directed to a Java page, and it looked exactly like Java page, and it said that my Java was out of date, and I should download this. And so, and it gave me the Java number, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, this doesn't look right. That's a fresh install. What do I care? I'll just download it. So I download it, and I saved it, but then I went to the actual Java, and I did, Java verify. Okay, well, Java's not installed, so I downloaded it from the their website, and what I was downloading was actually a newer version, which I installed, and I installed successfully, and then rebooted. And I was later instructed, once again, by the same window that opened up, that I didn't have the latest version. It directed me to install this old version. So that's as far as I got with it, but I thought this was really bizarre, and so I didn't know if this was something. It just really felt like malware on a fresh install. It was really strange.
So anyway, I'll bring it next week. I still have to kind of like make a decision on that, what's going on. But the website that it was taking me to download Java looked like the Java, but it was not. It was something else.
Yeah. Really? I've always just, I just have a tendency to just use Nightnight. And that way it's, you know, whether when you're always grabbing the updated, the latest update of Java, because it just goes and gets it right from the Java page itself.
I agree. I like Nightnight because it's just bam. I just install everything at once and I just let it fly.
Right.
In this particular case, I had already had a Java window open up. So I went specifically to what I knew was the real Java, just to compare it. And I downloaded both files and they were different sizes. Like, man, this isn't right. When I do get machines in, I will run Java. After everything's installed, I will run Java Verify, or I'll Google Java Verify, Flash Verify, and go to those sites just so I'm satisfied I have the newest versions. There's no install, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm with you. It's Nightnight. I love that.
Yeah. Well, cool. So here's something that just came out just recently, actually, and I was pretty excited to hear about this. And well, we've talked about Crypto Locker before on the show. So last December, I got called in to a client to help them with their huge, huge Crypto Locker infection. Then my sister got her computer was infected with Crypto Locker. Well, today, Nick Shaw, foolishit.com, released Crypto Prevent version 7. So, and you can get that at foolishit.com. Just check out his, some of the updates there at Crypto Prevent version 7. On the same note, I don't know if you guys heard about this, though there was a company called FireEye and Fox IT that they were able to get the infected keys from the servers, or get the keys from the servers that were doing CryptoLocker. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
So they put up a website and it's decryptolocker.com. And what you can do is you can send it. And I'm going to do this because I still have the image of my sister's laptop that's infected. I'm going to put it on another image, grab a file, on a computer that's offline. I'm not even going to put it on the same machine, just, on a hard drive, pull it offline. A couple things. First off, remember how the threat was, if you don't send us payment within 72 hours, we're going to delete your keys?
Yes.
They never did. They were able to recover all the keys from the server. So if you happen to have an image, like you just saved, I'm going to make an image, I'm going to put it in the back room, I'm going to have to start from scratch, you may be able to get your data back. So what you do is you send you give them the email address that wasn't that initiated the Crypto Locker, the Crypto Locker, okay? And then send them a sample file. And I think it has to be, let me pull the site up really quick, but I believe it's something like, if you go to the site, maximum size is 16 megabytes. So maybe it's a text document. Don't send them any. They say, number one, email addresses will not be used for marketing purposes, nor will they be any way used stored by FireEye or Foxit. And then number two, you should only upload encrypted files that do not contain any sensitive or personally identifiable information. So maybe you just have a grocery list or something, whatever text document that you have. And really, in Windows, in Linux, go grab a system, go grab a system log. Grab the Windows log in Windows, that, your update log, Windows update.log. Throw that up there, something small. They will then send you, I believe, to that email address. They'll send you a link so you can get an executable from them that will then go through and decrypt all of that data.
Well, interesting.
So that's my to-do before next Geeksters, is I'm going to pull out my sister's image, grab her Windows log, send it to them with her email address, let her know I'm doing this, then she'll get a link from them, and I'm going to see if I can decrypt her data.
Good luck.
And if it works, I will be ecstatic.
Oh, it'll be a whole show worth of stuff to talk about next week.
So, yeah. So check out decryptolocker.com. D-E-C-R-Y-P-T. Oh, sorry. No, it's not decrypt. It's
decryptcryptolocker.com.
There it is. Thank you. And it'll be in the show notes. Decryptcryptolocker.com. Yeah. So that's, I had heard about it kind of on the fringes of some stuff. And then I was able to look at it a little bit more and listen to some people talk about it. And I thought, oh, this is cool. Very, very cool.
You know,
yeah, we're assuming that they all work the same way.
Well, they have the keys, so all they have to do is just match up the because they have the, you were given a public key, they've got the private key. All they have to do is match up the email address with the private key, and then send you the key, and away you go.
Various partnerships and reverse engineering engagements, Fox IT and FireEye have ascertained many of the private keys associated with CryptoLocker. That's what I'm trying to figure out. How did they get all
reverse engineering? This?
I don't know.
Wow, these guys. This could be a movie. I mean, this is amazing.
It's good to write software.
I hope. Yeah. I don't want any. I hope they went in with a ball bat and broke knees. That's what I want.
I don't know. And this all started in September. I mean, I was called in December, but the CryptoLocker hit, you know, the scene next September, or, you know, last September. So it's been almost a year. That's true. And they have gained millions, if not billions of dollars from people sending them money packs.
Interesting.
And hopefully now we can eradicate this, which really at the time, I remember talking about it and all of us kind of going, this could be the end all of the
alls. This was a whole.
It was almost that gloom and doom feeling. Like, well, if you get this, you're so screwed. And how do you recover from something like this? And now there's kind of that light at the end of the tunnel where it's like, well, maybe we can. Back up though.
I haven't listened to my Steve Gibson in a while. I mean, I would think he'd have some input on this. I just don't see how he reverse engineer this information. But clearly they've figured out some element of it.
Right. He did talk about this one today. So it was brought up again today. But yeah, I don't.
Fascinating. Well, you know what? This is great. Score one for the good guys.
Man, yeah, no kidding.
Unless this is this is a double back scam.
Well, there's only. I mean, I'm doing it on not on a live system. I'm going to do it on an image. So the worst it can do is wreck an image, and I'll have it. You know, wreck the, you know, the copy of the image because I'll be deploying it. And if it doesn't work, then
it
I don't know what else do you do.
Kind of work, but they'll need a little bit more money.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Hey, we have your key. You can buy it from us. I don't know.
That we'll see. Interesting.
But, yeah. So, and I guess you could go. Oh, okay. Here's. Use this portal. We'll email your master key along with the download link to recover program. So you get an executable right from their webpage. And I think the executable, then if you run it, which I have Linux, I can't run it. But I think if you run it, it will then probably ask you for the key to go inside of it. So you can download the recovery tool. It just won't do anything because it has, it you know, I don't know. I'm gonna mess with it. I will let you guys know next week what I find.
About this?
Me neither. I need to go to bed early tonight, but I may not be able to. Because if I can get my, if I can get my sister's stuff back, she will be ecstatic because it caused so much heartache and so much pain and so much frustration, more than just, you know, there was Office product license key, you know, errors involved. And so she ended up, you know, we ended up having to buy a new version of Office. We had to reload her computer from scratch. We had to set up, you know what I mean? We couldn't get all of her data back because there was some of it wasn't getting backed up right, because it was just, you know, I was so, so, so sick and ill from this that I wasn't happy. I really was physically ill. I remember.
And you shaved your beard.
That's right. I sat down and I shaved my beard. That's how upset I was. That's right. I pulled it out. This is baby smooth pulling it out.
Angst. And anguish. And
anguish.
And gnashing of teeth.
Oh, there was. These are fake now.
Your teeth are all gnashed.
My teeth were completely
your
gnashed.
Your teeth have been fully gnashed.
Fully gnashed, and I was disgruntled. Much disgruntledness.
Oh, gosh. You'll have that.
Yep. Oh, you know what today is?
What's dates?
Updates.
Oh.
Yep.
Is it?
It is second Tuesday of the month, because last Tuesday was only the first Tuesday of the month, even though it felt like it was much longer. So today, second Tuesday of the month, 9 security bulletins, 2 critical, 7 of them are important. The 2 critical ones are a remote code execution inside of Windows Media Center, I believe in just Vista. So if you're running Vista, Windows Media Center, well, do your updates. And the other one is a it's a cumulative security update for Internet Explorer 6 all the way to version 11. So make sure you also do your updates. Anyways, it's Patch Tuesday. Do your updates. Because.
Now?
That's what we do. Do your updates. I have, you know, so not last week, the week before, we had Tyson on, and he was talking about the Xfinity Wi-Fi, and people were bogging down a system because Comcast had turned on the wireless. I was working with the customer's laptop the other day, and I was just doing a normal cleanup. It was nothing too exciting, but it kept trying to connect to an Xfinity Wi-Fi, and it was so slow and it wouldn't work right because it sounded like at one point she had connected to one. And then of course, no matter where she goes, there's always one to connect to. And, so I had to clean that out and get that to not do that. And I got a chance. She was curious what that meant and got a chance to talk to her about it before. And I said, yeah, this is a perk of being a Comcast, you know, monkey, I guess. Not really monkey, really, but you know what I mean?
Really.
You know, that you get the benefit of people taking your network connection, and you get the benefit of taking other people's connection.
I've taken advantage of that a few times, 5, 6, 7 times. And I have found it to be, and I'm not promoting this. I still think it's awful. It's horrible. But I got to tell you what, in a pinch, it's good. Greatly helped me out. And I'll tell you what, never once have I connected and like I had any, maybe it's just my luck, but usually the connection speed was so bad that I only wanted to use it just long enough to get just what I needed, and I wanted to get out of there. So I don't know if that's.
Yeah, I was at the vets when we put my put my last dog down, and somebody had it around there, and because Verizon wasn't working for my phone wasn't working for nothing. And then I connected to there, and it was good.
Was it really?
I was getting decent speeds too. Oh yeah, I did. I guess no one was on it. I did some speed tests, and they were really good.
Do you live next? Do you live close to
like
Tyson?
25 meg down, somewhere around there.
Were you stealing all Tyson's wireless?
Nah.
Mitch was here. Well, I'm deploying. Remember the open mesh? We had talked about it a couple times, and. That's the device that's going to plug into the wall, run an Ethernet cable up. I'm actually deploying that tomorrow morning, 5:30.
Oh, that is a toss up. I mean, you know, got to get to bed early because that's a big deal. Right. But I mean, the whole thing. So the crypto. That's a tough decision. I think you should go to bed.
I don't know.
And I don't know. You want to be fresh. So anyway, that's tomorrow morning.
Well, right, but I'm deploying it at a coffee shop, so it's kind of a win-win.
Coffee.
I'll plug it in and then get a coffee.
Yeah,
if all goes well.
And that's the thing is that I'm honestly, because there's the, well, I may not actually, it may not be deployed because I haven't received any information back from the owners.
Oh,
because we wouldn't need to do because there's a splash page and they want to put up, you know, they want to confirm all the settings. And so oh man, I need to get a hold of them. Sorry, thinking out loud. But my concern is that I just have this feeling like, because it's new. I mean, I know when I go and I put a wireless access point in there, I know what it's going to do. I know how it's going to work. This one, I hope it works. My concern is that people are going to come in and they're going to not, it's not going to work. Things aren't going to be right. Luckily, I've got some time in the morning that I can hang out there, and I'll probably work from there for a little bit. But I just hope it goes well. Because, I mean, it's a splash page. You know, there's the captive portal. So when you go to the page, you have to hit, you know, you accept. It then will roll you over. Like, it's just going to be one of those things that once I have to watch it live in production, and then I can, you know. But all my testing has worked out okay, so.
Okay. I'm sure.
We'll see. I hope so. I mean, really, what's the worst? It bombs. It tanks. We plug in the other network. They're good to go.
Right.
You know. So.
That's such a great product.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not too bad. I'm looking forward to it. So speaking of wireless, when I was, you know, you hear things about how to secure your wireless better. And you hear things like, well, you should hide your SSID. You should do MAC filtering. You should, of course, do things like WPA2, not WPA. You know, all these other kind of things. It's kind of whittled down now where really you just hear a lot of just WPA2, right? I guess you could harden it. You could really harden it down with MAC filtering. But I don't hear a lot of hide your wireless anymore. Are you guys hearing that?
No. No, and actually, I actually just the other day I saw, maybe this is what you were alluding to, but it was, how does that even do anything anymore? If you were to hide it, what security does that bring you?
Right, yeah, there's a How To Geek did one called Debunking Myth, Is Hiding Your Wireless SSID Really More Secure? And I think that maybe that was what you're referring to.
Yeah, I'm sure I was.
Yeah, I think this cracking software that I used one time, it didn't matter. It still showed all. It showed everything.
Exactly. Yeah. That's one of the things. Error something. Wire, not wire.
Yeah, sharp, ergo, but, ergo. Yeah, that's what I did.
Right. There's another.
I just tried it on I had one of the old, the B routers, wireless right. routers, and I put an easy number there. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, it took me about 20 minutes to crack it with the software. I mean, I ran Backtrack. That's what I was using. Backtrack 3. So it was a while ago.
Right.
Just all everything off the CD, the live CD, and it worked.
Well, yeah, it's easy to crack.
Took me a while to get it right. You know, following all the directions, but I finally got it.
Right. Yeah. No, it won't take very long to decrypt right. the web key. But what you're saying was, if I had my SSID and you come along with your fancy tools, you can right. still see the SSID. So really, exactly. you're not doing anything. It's pretty trivial to hide right. your SSID.
If people don't know how to do it, it's not gonna right. It's not gonna matter.
Well, okay. So now, say you've hidden your SSID, right? Now you need to. You need to make a connection. So in Windows 7, you click on the network, you get the list of all the IP of all the wireless. You click on the one that you want. You hit connect. You put in the key. You're good to go. Right. Well, now if it's hidden, you have to say add new network. You have to put in the name. Don't misspell anything. You put in the name. Put in the key. You have to manually fill in all this information, and that's just on Windows 7. Now older machines, it's harder to do that. So, you know, hiding it is, you know, now you just have more work to do to hide it. Okay. The other thing, and I didn't know about this one, is that so now you're, when you're connected to a hidden wireless, okay, you're at home, your home wireless is hidden for whatever reason, you connect to it with your laptop, everything's good, you then leave and you're at Starbucks or at another coffee shop or wherever, and you're using your laptop. Your computer, because it was a hidden, your computer is constantly, constantly asking for that wireless. And so it's always sending out, if people were to sniff the traffic, it's always sending out and it's actually leaking the SSID, your SSID name that's supposed to be hidden. But now you're kind of sharing it with anybody who, you know, would like to watch and see the data traffic come through. So it's not very beneficial. So after reading all this and kind of going through this, it's kind of like, well, you know, the pro is that it's hidden, but the con is that it's not really hidden, and it sounds like it's kind of more of a pain, and you kind of tell everybody what it is when you're not connected anyway, so seems kind of silly.
Yeah, I don't bother with it. I used it one time, but...
I know, I don't hide mine. I don't care. I mean, you put a good password on it. If you put a good password on it and you do your proper encryption, then what's the point?
Of course, I can't get back into mine anyway. I'm using that TP-Link. And I changed the default thing to get in there, and I forgot what I changed it to, so I'd have to reset it.
I was going
to
say, you know they make a tool for that, right?
I know there's a tool to get to my network, but I didn't know there was a tool to get to the router, whatever I set the router as. I got it written down somewhere, but I...
No, it's right here. Let me get the...
0000.
Here you go. Right there. There you go.
Oh, yeah, I know. I said that. I don't feel like resetting it though.
Then so what? I have that same tool. You know what?
I showed Mitch a straightened out paperclip. That was my tool. That's my tool tip of the day. Straightened out paperclip.
That's not a network tool. That's a broken.
That's totally a network tool.
Drive opening tool.
You can. Well, it's like a Swiss Army. That's my Swiss Army paperclip. Optical drive opening tool. I completely forgot about that. I've never had to do that.
I had to do that today.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
It's a network tool. It's an operator. I mean, if you got something stuck between your teeth, bah, bah, bing.
You know, I'll tell you what it's really handy for. I always keep, especially one of the bigger ones, I keep a couple hanging out in the garage near my air, because when I bring a machine in, I'll use a nice big paper clip to stop a fan when I'm blowing the dust out. Because what you don't want to do is over rev those fans. I mean, you could jam just about anything in there, but you know, just paperclip. You usually have one handy as a tech. Excuse me, and I usually have a paperclip handy. Just stop that fan, and I can just run out of air and just go nuts and not worry about over revving those fans.
Just put a big rock on top of the fan. That'll cool it down. Just a, like a brick.
I put a rock where?
Like on the fan, so stop it spinning. Put a big brick on it, so it stops it from spinning.
If I'm sideways, how do you get a rock inside the power supply?
Well, a small rock.
Well, a rock? like molten lava. I could pour molten lava in there and then let it solidify, I suppose. And then,
right, wait for it to harden, like some aluminum.
See, what I do is I solder the fan so it doesn't move. And then when I finish blowing it out, I unsolder it. Even though it's plastic, not metal.
I should wrap the whole thing up in duct tape. There. Okay.
I usually just take a truckload of computers at once to the airport, and I just wait for a plane to take off. That's what I do.
Like in Love Can't Wait with what's his name, and he holds up the radio. It's you on the airport holding up computers.
Yeah. Oh, I just get one of them trolleys. I just throw people's luggage out on the tarmac, and I just load it up with the computers. And I wait for a plane to take off. It blows that dust out. The fans are probably spinning pretty fast, but you can't hear them. There's a lot of noise down there.
But flash out some plastic badge you got from a 25-cent Tim's Route to BC repair. I'm commandeering this vehicle.
Well, anybody down there driving around that many computers on one of those luggage carts, as long as you look like you belong there.
That's right. Wear a vest.
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As long as you wear a vest. So we got an email.
As long as you wear
camp vest. That's why I tried to hook up my mixer so I could play it today, but I think I blew it out.
What was that, Tim?
The worst advice ever. Just as long as you wear a vest. And nobody running, has ever said that.
If you're going running down a dark road, if you're going to hijack a luggage cart on the thing and you need to know what you're doing, wear a vest. They don't stop you if you're not wearing a vest.
As long as you wear a vest.
Put on a vest. All right. This is from Robert Headley. Sorry, Robert. It says, "Hey, Martin, I've been listening to you guys on Geeksters, and I heard something interesting when I was busy one day, and I cannot figure out what it was. Been listening to all the shows over again, but still coming up empty. So I just want to thank him right now for upping our download quota. That's pretty nice. Thank you. If you want to listen to him for the third time, please be my guest." says, "What I'm trying to find is the software you were talking about. I believe it was some type of forceful uninstall tool, as an example that was used of removing conduit. If you type in conduit in the software and all the things conduit getting removed, any idea what I'm talking about?" I threw it back out to you guys, and Mitch had mentioned Revo Uninstaller. Was that the one? Because I know there's Revo Uninstaller. We've talked about D-Uninstaller, which I heard is the bomb and de-awesome.
That'd be D-Nix. I mean, yeah.
Yes. So, but Revo, when I went and looked at Revo, I remember it looks like you can search. I don't think I've ever ran Revo.
I use it. I've used it before. I love it.
Okay.
I've used it forever. Well,
there you go.
It
works.
Forever?
Forever. Wow. I mean, you know.
Forever?
Well, everything in tech terms is, I mean, like six months is like a lifetime.
I've used it in computer years. Forever in computer
forever
years.
Forever in computer years. Yeah.
Well, how do you guys
it's
like
about
it?
About a year and a half.
Oh, I like.
I liked it.
It's awesome. I like it. Now, look, I'm a convert to de-awesome, de-uninstaller, just because I like checking the boxes and just letting it fly. But I like Revo. I would still use it if I needed to know that every last little stinking bit of something was gone, because it starts out by running just the uninstaller that comes with whatever software you're removing. And then once it's done, it searches for all the leftover folders and files, and you can go through and choose what you do and do not want to delete. And it goes through and finds all leftover registry keys, and you can choose what you do and do not want to delete. And so I have found Revo to be extremely, extremely valuable in removing things that are extremely difficult to remove, usually AV software. And so I've had a number of times where things have been uninstalled by the Windows uninstaller, or maybe in the middle of being uninstalled, lost power, something broke, and so the uninstall didn't complete. And so it's kind of like in this limbo. I've had so much luck with that. And also, Revo has this awesome tool where you can pinpoint what it auto starts. And so if you're getting like a pop-up window or just something, or even like an icon in your system tray by the clock, and you can't figure out what the heck it is that's doing that, Revo has a tool that you can it just puts like a little bullseye up in the upper right-hand corner of your screen. And when you get whatever that is, you drag it over whatever offending thing it is, and it'll point you to the folder of where this thing is, and it'll give you the option right there of stopping it from auto starting. I mean, it's really, really valuable. And so I love Revo Installer. I think Deinstaller, I still enjoy it. If I just got a list of programs, I just want, I'm satisfied just to set them all, check, and just go. And I don't know if maybe what our list, or our the email, if he was referring to, because he was talking about, he was referring to a little bit of malware there, wasn't he?
Well, it just says he was, let me pull it back up here.
So I don't know, maybe he was talking about the,
No, he's just saying it was something about the example that we used, it sounded like, was removing conduit.
Okay, conduit. And so I'm thinking that was like the ADW.
Yeah, but that's not that's an uninstaller. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's the, what is that, Adware? Oh, shoot. What is that? That's what it is. It doesn't stand for anything.
I have no idea. I'm always surprised when I look it up and that's what, see what it stands for. But
it is just ADW.
It actually stands for something, but I'm thinking that I'm kind of leaning that way. ADW will go through and search through things and remove things that you wouldn't necessarily know what to look for. But any of those three things, they're great tools depending on what exactly it is you're looking to do.
Yeah. Well, I've never used Revo, and so I will have to give it a shot. Everybody has their tools that they like, and these are new tools, and I enjoy seeing about. I did notice it looks like you get a free 30-day trial, and it's not a partial trial. This is a full. It says it's a full fledged 30-day trial. It's not one of the And then if you looks like it's one computer is $39.99, and then the three computers is $58.86. So it's half off. Three computers. So I don't know, but I don't know. Do they have a technicians one where you can, is it licensed per computer? Can you install it on one computer and then uninstall it? You know,
that I don't know. And you know what?
What is
it? It may, I have, if you go to Nynite, you can actually install it. I'm guessing it's the free version, but I have, I think my pro version is actually portable.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if maybe I have made that or something, but that's a possibility. I'm not sure how it comes. I have
missing
a portable version I used for the longest time.
There it is. It's just called Revo. Under Utilities, under Nynite, it's just called Revo. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't say Revo Uninstaller. It just says Revo.
That's their product.
No. What? Oh, that's weird. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was just I hovered over it and it gave me some weird error. Well, that's cool. I'll have to give it a shot. I'll have to install something and use it to uninstall something.
I'm telling you that I'm trying to think what it calls it, like Startup Hunter or something like that. It's Hunter Mode, I think is what it is, but it's the best. I mean, I've used that so many times where you just get like this thing. Just when you think the machine is like this close, but there's still like that something. You're like, what the heck is that? You put it in Hunter Mode and you finally get it and drag it over that, and it goes, and of course it goes to some like stupid app data folder or something ridiculous, and you're like, yeah, I want to kill that man, and it's great. That's been like such an amazing feature. Love that.
Well, I like it. I'm gonna try it. So, Robert, I hope that's what you're looking for.
And if not, let us know.
Yeah, we'll find something else that we're looking for.
We can recommend something.
I'm not going to recommend everything because I got to save something for next time. What was I thinking?
Join us in the chat next time, Robert. And if we didn't answer your question, ask us a question live. We'll do our best.
Maybe he's got to work during this time.
Does he?
I don't know.
Okay.
You don't have to do it, Robert. Don't listen to Tim. You can do whatever you want.
And of course, I mean everybody. Anybody that does listen to the podcast, if you ever get a chance to hang out live, please join us. We have a blast here.
Podnos.com/live. We got people in there right now. It's a party.
Oh, big time.
Well, there's cake. There's ice cream. There's a pinata.
Don't tempt me, please.
What? Okay. It's low carb cake. It's low carb ice cream. And the pinata is full of broccoli and celery.
You know, where I work, when we have a birthday in the office, somebody gets a birthday cake, for the person that's having the birthday. So I said, it was my birthday last week. I said, and now I'm telling you now, don't get a birthday cake. If you do, I'm not eating any. You can, bring it in for other people, but I'm not eating any. So I didn't get a birthday cake, which was fine.
They brought you donuts.
No.
It's we can have cake, Mitch, but the only thing we have to drink is grapefruit juice. So
I've only had water in the last 4 weeks.
I'm having some iced tea.
So am I. Salute. Well,
but I'm having it in a mason jar, so that's always fancy.
Right.
Fancy, fancy. Well, guys, I think that's a good show.
Great show.
It's me.
Mitch, if people want to get a hold of us, what's the best way? If they want to, like Robert, send us an email and just chit-chat.
I forgot.
You forgot?
I don't have it's at geeksters.podnuts.com, and then we have voicemail at 7076-PODNUT. And I remember that by heart. I can't believe it. And I think you said we do have a voicemail to play.
Yeah.
We haven't played.
It's from...
Well,
it's from
I was trying to set Jeff up today Owens. To play it, and now I think I just killed my... I killed my mixer, so it might be a while.
Sorry, I was reading a message from the chat room. Ah, okay. Right. Tim, if you want to get a hold of you.
Yep, I'm Tim Bauer, Mice from the G+. Search me up there.
Search Tim on the G+. I'm Martin at obandocomputing.com. I'm M Obando in the in Google+. I'm Obando Computing in the chat. You see me in there every now and then. Don't forget, guys, it's Christmas is coming soon. I mean, it's a ways
there's,
away, but you know,
there's only
you never
20
know.
More Fridays left.
Is that it?
So my wife told me today. I don't know what that means. I don't know why she's telling me that, but that's what she told me.
Maybe she wants something expensive. You have 20 weeks to save up.
I'll tell you what, I'll give her a divorce.
Oh.
That's expensive.
That's not, oh my gosh. That's not nice. I don't even know how to follow that.
What? It's something expensive that she probably wants.
Oh, all right. I'm moving on.
All right.
Anyways. Sheesh. Podnuts.com/Amazon. I just bought some stuff there today.
Nice.
I'm in a new router, a book for my wife. My wife's going to Haiti next week. No, next month. So I bought her a book. She wants to read a book. I'll buy her a book.
Cool.
It's a dictionary, but don't tell her. It'll be a gift. And if you're doing any shopping, podnuts.com/Amazon. If you guys are looking for other podcasts, you have no idea what you want to listen to. Podnuts Network is full of them. We've got Linux for the Rest of Us. That's one just for Linux-y stuff. If you're new to Linux, you want to learn out some stuff. We have a fitness one called Help Nuts. Call That Girl from Lisa. She does a lot of tech support. Kind of what we do. She talks about her day-to-day use of tech support and remote tools technology. She is the master. If anybody has any questions on Office 365, she will know the answer to that. Man, we've got so many other shows. If you're a tech and you want to get your name out there, get a hold of Jeff Hallish, Podnuts Daily. You can email him at, I don't know. Check out the website.
I think it's Jeff Hallish.
It's just Jeff Hallish or Jeff?
I think.
Well, check it out because you can get on, you can do an interview with him. You can get your name out there. He'll interview you, talk about what kind of business you're doing, how you're doing it, what are you doing. Just a great, great guy for some good interviews. But
he's going to be the guest next week, I believe.
That is right. That's right. Jeff Hallish is going to be out. So if you want to meet up with Jeff Hallish and you want to talk with him, jump in the chat, throw your name in there, and I will give Jeff just a huge, giant list of names. Or just email us and we'll send it on to him. But go to podnuts.com and just check out all of those great shows. If you'd like to join us live, we mentioned it earlier, podnuts.com/livegeeksters. We try to start about 3:30, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, give or take sometime, depending on malfunctions and just life in general. But thanks, guys, for coming and joining us. And I haven't said it in a while, so I hope everybody has a great, gruntled fiscal week. Thanks. Bye, guys.
D72 is here. Go to foolishit.com for more information.